The Social Worker's Daughter by Fezzador. Read by Sam Gabriel. Based on the works of J.K. Rowling. Chapter 4. There's Something About Harry. Lila sat at the Hufflepuff table, feeling terrible for Harry. She saw him sobbing at the Gryffindor table, looking utterly distraught, but she also saw him connecting with the bushy-haired bookworm that she met on the train.
That girl really is a sweetheart, Lila thought. What was her name again? Hyacinth? I really should have made a better effort to remember her name. Whatever it was different, but it seemed pretty. Not unlike Lila.
She smiled to herself, knowing that someone nice like her had Harry's back when she couldn't be there. Lila didn't eat very much at the start of term feast. Her mind was on Harry, not because they weren't sitting at the same table. There was something about him that seemed not quite right. The fact that he referred to her as his first real friend.
Most 11-year-olds have made their first friend well before then, she thought.
The way he chowed down on the goodies from the treat cart, it almost seemed to be out of desperation. And the boy was quite undersized for someone his age. Lila wasn't even that tall, but even she noticed that she was taller than Harry by a solid couple of inches. The poor dear didn't look like he weighed much more than 5 stone. She looked to her left, the only firstie in her immediate area. She smiled at the girl.
Hey, it's Susan, right? I'm Lila Darling.
The girl smiled back at Lila.
Hello, Lila. Yes, I'm Susan. Susan Bones. How are you?
Susan couldn't help but look at the slightly troubled expression on Lila's face.
Is something the matter, Lila? Something seems to be eating at you, pardon the pun,
she giggled. Lila sighed.
I've just been thinking of my new friend Harry, the one with the glasses at the Gryffindor table. He seems to be very upset a few minutes ago. I think he was a bit disappointed that he's not over here with me, or I'm over there with him.
Susan smiled.
I didn't properly introduce myself to him, but from what I gather, he seems like a nice boy. And it's easy to tell why he likes you. You're very pretty, and you seem so kind.
Lila smiled at Susan. Tears started filling Lila's eyes.
There's something about him. Something troubling. He's so small and thin, and he's rather quiet. I tried to get him to open up a bit on the train, but he said he wasn't ready just yet.
Susan put a hand on Lila's shoulders.
You might want to speak to Ma Shirley over there after the banquet.
Susan gestured toward a teenage Asian girl a handful of seats down from where they were sitting. She had a badge with a P on her robes.
She's a prefect. If you want to talk to someone, she can tell you what you can do.
Lila smiled at Susan in gratitude.
Thank you, Susan. I think I will ask her in just a little bit.
If you want to invite Harry to our table sometime, there's no harm in that, Susan advised.
And I'm sure he'll want to invite you to his as well.
She craned her neck to try and find the dark-haired boy with the glasses.
It looks like he's made a new friend or two over there already.
A short while later, dinner was beginning to wind down.
I suppose I'll go over now and try and ask. Marcia, was it?
Thought Lila. She got up from her table and tried to find the girl with the prefect badge. Marcia was talking to another prefect next to her, Gabe Truman. Lila decided to wait for them to finish before she broached the subject. A few moments later, Marcia took notice of Lila.
Hello? Can I help you, miss?
Lila smiled.
Darling, Lila Darling. Hello, you must be Marcia, right?
Marcia smiled at Lila.
That's correct, Lila. Is there something you'd like to ask me? I'll gladly help you if you have a question.
Lila bit her lip a bit, as she tended to do when she had something rather difficult to discuss.
Yes, I've just made a friend today. He's sitting at the Gryffindor table over there.
She gestured toward Harry on the other side of the room.
I'd like to talk to someone about him. I think he may have had some trouble at home prior to coming here. I don't know that for a fact, but I have my suspicions.
I see, said Marcia.
As he is a Gryffindor, that might need to be handled in-house. I can tell that you truly care for him, so I'll try and owl his house head and see if it's possible to set you up with an appointment and discuss it in private.
Oh, good, replied Lila.
I'd love that, actually. Who's his head of house?
That'll be Professor McGonagall, the same witch that placed that nasty old cap in your noggin, Marcia explained with a giggle.
Don't let her stern exterior fool you. She's truly a kind lady. She's the tough but fair type.
And one more question, Marcia, Lila asked. When can I see Harry next?
Marcia smiled at Lila.
If you want to talk to him at breakfast tomorrow for a few minutes, there's no harm in that. I'm sure he'll be thrilled to see you. For now, though, I encourage you to return to your seat. We'll be going to the dormitory momentarily.
Thank you, Masha, Lila replied.
A few minutes later, the banquet hall cleared, and all of the students were guided to their respective dormitories. Back in the Gryffindor dormitory, Harry and Ron had unpacked their belongings and were about to slip into their PJs.
You'll like Gryffindor in time, Harry, I promise, Ron said encouragingly to Harry.
And I'm sorry for being a bit of a git earlier. In all seriousness, Hufflepuff's a good house. Not many witches always go bad there, but there's just something about you being a Gryffindor that sounds right. It's where the Potters have gone for generations, after all, just like us Weasleys.
Thanks, mate. Harry smiled wistfully at Ron. I'm sure you're right, but I wish Lila and I were sorted together.
Ron clapped a knowing hand on Harry's shoulder.
I know you do. That girl's an angel.
He then offered Harry a thoughtful look.
You know, something tells me that Lila was quite close to being a Gryffindor. She'd make a terrific one, I think.
He chuckled softly.
That silly Hatchell took its time finding a home for her. I'm sure she's smart enough for Ravenclaw, too.
Harry nodded in agreement.
Not as long as Neville's, though. For a moment I thought the hat would never leave his head, he said with a laugh.
Ron's eyes widened.
You aren't kidding. Do you think that if they could, that he and Lila would trade houses?
Without question, Ron, Harry replied. Neville's a nice boy, but he's painfully meek.
Lila's sweet, but she's got spunk. She told me that she met Draco Malfoy in the train and how she wanted to bust his lip.
Both boys guffawed at that notion.
Oh, Harry, do you know how to play wizard's chess by any chance? Ron asked.
Harry shook his head.
I haven't even really played plain chess, Ron. Maybe you could teach me.
Ron's face lit up like a 100-watt bulb. I'd be delighted to.
I have a set that my grandfather used to have. It's older than dirt, but it still works great. You're going to love it.
Ron took out a chessboard and put 32 pieces on it, 16 white ones on one side and 16 dark ones on the other.
The rules of wizard's chess are the same as in muggle chess, Ron explained. The pieces are enchanted, so you don't have to move them. You just call out the piece you want and tell it which square you want it to move to. White goes first. Would you like me to take white so I can demonstrate how it works?
Harry nodded. That's fine, Mum.
Ron explained how the individual pieces work. The board's divided into 64 squares. A through H on horizontal, 1 through 8 on vertical. Pawns only go forward one square, with the exception of the first mover, they can go two. Rooks can move across the board horizontally or vertically. Bishops can move across the board diagonally. Knights move in an L shape, two over and then three across, or three over and then two across. Your queen is the most powerful piece, as she can move across the board horizontally, vertically, or diagonally. Finally, your king can move in any direction, but only one space at a time. But if he gets captured, you lose.
Ron smiled. I know that sounds like a lot, and it sort of is, but with time and practice, it'll be second nature.
Oh, and in wizard's chess, the pieces may try and give you some ideas. Sometimes they're good ones, sometimes they're not so good. You need to be careful when listening to them. You ready to play?
It wasn't long before Harry started falling in love with wizard's chess. He was thoroughly humiliated by Ron, but he knew that with a bit of practice, he could provide a bit of a challenge.
Don't worry about it too much, Harry, Ron said cheerfully. That wasn't bad for your first go. You'll get the hang of it.
Ron? Harry asked, with a sincere expression on his face.
Yari?
Lila was right about you. You were worth getting to know, Harry said with a smile. Until today, I haven't had a real proper friend. Now I have several.
I'm grateful for Lila, Hermione, and yourself because the three of you wanted to get to know Harry Potter and not the boy who lived like Malfoy. Thank you from the bottom of my heart.
For the full text of this and other stories by the same author, visit the AO3 page of Fezzador. Music is The Industrious Ferret by Kevin MacLeod. Special thanks to Sakiko. If you would like me to record a story, voiceover, or character, please get in touch with me using the contact information on my website, which is located at samgabrielvo.com. And there you can find other stories that I've read, as well as a link to my Discord server and other ways to support what I do. And finally, as always, thank you for listening.